Hi again, everybody, and welcome to Airman's Podcast, episode 139. Today is Tuesday, January 20th, 2009. Well, it's a very big week. Of course, the new president of the United States is about to be inaugurated. My 50th birthday is tomorrow, and Nigel and I are having our civil union at the end of the week. So for me in particular, it's a very big week. Well, you may remember that I was going to record originally on Monday because I thought I wouldn't have time to record today, and in fact, I don't. The reason I didn't is because Sunday night before I went to bed, I just decided I'd stop over at iTunes USA and see if I had any new reviews. Bad idea. Turns out that some asshole had just left me a one-star review that was both offensive and bordered on the defamatory, and it made me really angry. I wrote a really passionate rant on my site, airmanspodcast.com, and if I had recorded yesterday, it just would have been another rant, which isn't what I wanted to do, especially this week. Because I decided I'm not going to let any asshole ruin what is, for me, the happiest week of my life, probably. And so I won't. Now, I will come back to the subject at another time, but today is not that time. Instead, I just want to talk about what a great week this is. Of course, what most people are looking forward to is the inauguration of President Obama. And I, of course, remain optimistic about that and hopeful and excited and all those kinds of things. And Nigel and I will be getting up to watch it. We're going to record it as well, but we're going to get up in the fairly early stages. I will not be watching Rick Warren, as I said before. But apart from that, I'm going to be watching and enjoying the inaugural festivities. It's a great way to start my birthday. The birthday, however, is the other event tomorrow, which is capturing some attention anyway. Time was, I was really dreading my 50th, but not for the reason you might think. It's not just because I'm getting older and all those usual things. It's because I've always had a disconnect between my real age and the age that I feel. And this goes way back, actually. When I was a teenager, I actually felt older than I really was, and that lasted into my 20s. And then somewhere around there, it evened up and then started to change. Probably by my late 20s, I was feeling younger than I really was. And that has only continued. As a matter of fact, the spread has only grown as I've gotten older. I probably feel more like I'm in my mid to late 30s than I do anywhere near 50. Although some days when I'm achy, it's all another issue. So when I thought about this 50th birthday, what I've dreaded isn't getting older. It's more about how there's this disconnect and how I keep feeling like somebody's made a terrible mistake somewhere. How maybe they carried a one when they shouldn't have. I don't know. But that's just not right. That's not what my birthday is. But of course, it is. And I'm fine with it. It doesn't really bother me that much. When it was first coming along, I wanted to have a big celebration. And as time passed, not so much. And that's how it evolved to have it at home. And then, of course, it was a logical jump from there to have our civil union at the same time. And, of course, that's the other big event this week, at the end of the week. And it's actually come to overshadow my birthday, which is originally what I didn't want, because that's what I want. Now, I should explain. Originally, of course, I wanted my birthday to be the focus. I didn't want to have anything taking away from that focus. But now that everything's arranged the way it has, this is exactly what I want. Because my mind is only on the civil union. I don't really care about my birthday so much. I mean, I do, but I mean, it's not the center of my thinking anymore. I'm not nervous or anything about the civil union, apart from maybe screwing up my vows. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. And I mean, I can tell you chapter and verse of the intellectual reasons why this is such a good idea and why I'm looking forward to it and am excited intellectually about it. That's easy. The harder part, though, is talking about the emotional side, what it means. And because some of it is stuff that other people probably wouldn't relate to. Some of it is obvious. I mean, I have the opportunity to stand up in front of family and friends and publicly declare my love and commitment to Nigel, as if they didn't know. But still, what I'm proud of it, why should I not look forward to doing that? And the fact of the matter is that, yeah, I'm not going to love or be committed to Nigel anymore after we sign those legal documents than I was beforehand. It'll be the same. What's different, though, is that we have this opportunity to have the whole force of New Zealand law brought in on our side as a, you know, recognizing the legitimacy of our relationship. And that means a lot. And here's why it particularly means a lot for me. I've talked before about having been an activist in my younger days, and I devoted a lot of time to that, probably well over a decade, maybe 15 years. And during that time, I spent a lot of time, effort, doing activism when I, quite frankly, should have been concentrating on a career. And in some ways, that was a mistake. At least I've come to feel it was a mistake. But I don't feel that way quite so much anymore. During those years, I was fighting for basic legal equality, the right not to be fired or the right not to be evicted because of your sexuality. The idea of having government sanction of your relationship was just, it was in another realm entirely. It didn't even enter my thinking because I just didn't think it was going to happen in my lifetime. Fast forward a few years, and I emigrate to New Zealand, and I'm able to do so in part because the country recognizes same-sex relationships, which, of course, the U.S. didn't and still doesn't for immigration purposes. And then a few years after that, well, a decade after that nearly, the government passes the Civil Union Act, which recognizes same-sex relationships in law. And suddenly, now that I think about it, I realize that, in a sense, this is like reaching the prize. All those years ago, I was fighting for basic social and legal equality. I moved to a country where that was mostly already in place. And now it's gone that next extra step to legitimize and recognize relationships as well, these family units that we create among ourselves. So I feel, in a way, that all of those years that I spent, all of that time, that those hours I spent in boring meetings, all of the things that I gave up in order to do that activism work are worthwhile. I feel like everything that I did was worth it. Now, I know full well that the activism I did was in Chicago and Illinois and the Midwest generally. It wasn't here in New Zealand. I had no impact on what happened here. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not talking about my personal efforts paying off. What I'm talking about here is that I feel that the universe, if you will, has given to me what it is I was fighting for all those years ago. I feel that it's not a reward exactly, but a payoff. Maybe it is a bit of a reward for all that I did all those years ago. Now, I'm certainly, I was never anybody famous. I wasn't one of those people who was indispensable to the movement of the day. And I don't think I'll ever be any, I don't think I'll even be a footnote in the histories written in that era. But I did my bit, you know? I did what I could do to try to bring about social and legal equality. And I sacrificed along the way. But I no longer feel like I made sacrifices. I feel that what I did is now worth it. And what I did is worthwhile. That I got something out of it in the end. And I never thought I would. So that's kind of what I'm feeling about this as we're moving towards the day. It's a big deal. It's something I certainly thought I would never see. I mean, like most kids, I grew up thinking that it just was unattainable. Most gay kids, that it was unattainable. And so I never thought about it in the same way that, I could never be a pro football player in the U.S. or a cricket player here in New Zealand or a soccer player in Europe. The same thing was true for marriage. It didn't enter my thinking because I didn't think it was going to happen, that it could happen. But now that it has, it feels really good. It feels legitimizing, whatever the word is. And I'm at peace, probably, in a way I don't think I ever have been in my life because of it. And it to be able to build a life with another person is a special thing. To be able to build a strong bond with another person is also a special thing. And some people never have it. Some people have it many times. There's a continuum. I've been very fortunate in that over the years I've had good relationships. I've had some bad ones. And I've learned something from all of them. I've learned something from my other experiences as well, which have kind of helped prepare me for this day, as it would. But to be able to share all of this with someone that I love deeply and am strongly committed to makes it even all the more important. And it almost makes me forget about all of the bad stuff over the years before I came to New Zealand that sort of led to this point. It also makes me forget about the bad things that happened when I was an activist too, as I just said. But I don't know. I think the best part for me is just that that is our moment, Nigel and mine's moment, to be us, to have the whole family focused on our commitment. And it means a lot to me. And one means a lot to Nigel too, but I'm the one talking. And it's a good thing. It's a really good thing, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I'll tell you more about the ceremony itself after it's all over. We're not talking about it with anybody except the celebrant, and I want to keep it that way until the day, until after it's all over, and then I'll talk about it. I'll tell you what was said and the significance and all those kinds of things. But for now, I'm just going to leave it at that and to let you know that it is possible to be happier than you ever thought you could be. But now I'm going to go on to comments, and first up is a phone comment from Bjorn.
Hey, Arthur, this is Bjorn from Dallas. I just want to say congratulations on your ceremony and happy 50th birthday. Yeah, my partner's 30 years older than me, will be turning 60 in November. But I have kind of a question for you. It seems here in the States that marriage and even commitment ceremonies or whatever are really kind of pushed as a ploy for their gift registry. And it makes those of us who are unable to have said ceremonies feel a little left out that we have to sit and drop, you know, $50 on plates just to feel like we're part of the ceremony. Is it just me, or does anyone else feel that, like, people are missing the point of marriage and it's all about the gift registry? Same thing works down with, you know, children's showers and things like that, too. It's not a celebration anymore about what's going on, but it becomes more about getting some stuff so we don't have to buy it. I lost everything in Katrina, and I had to rebuy and remake my whole life here in Dallas. So, you know, I don't see it. Maybe I'm just misguided, and I need some help. And I thought, who's the best podcast to ask but you? So, Arthur, keep up the good work, and I'll be listening for your sexy voice in the future. Bye.
Thank you, Bjorn. And actually, I've only just started getting to know him, and have been enjoying the interaction. No, I actually, Bjorn, I think you're right. I think that the focus on way too many weddings and similar events has been on the gifts that people get. And I know that it seems to be just a pro forma sort of thing. You announce your engagement and you register at various stores. Now, when my nephew got married, it was actually very handy because we couldn't be there, and it was really handy for me to be able to send a gift that way. But you're absolutely right that there are people who are left out of that. Because of the emphasis on gifts. And I don't think that that's right. Now, Nigel and I have not registered anywhere. We're not going to register anywhere because we don't want any gifts. We've been together for 13 years. We don't need anything. But I can understand why a young couple starting out may want to do that. I mean, I read somewhere that the average cost of a wedding in America is $10,000. And if you're spending that much money, you would hope to get a little something back for it, I suppose. So I can understand where they're coming from. But you're absolutely right, Bjorn, that the focus has gone off whatever the celebration is, whether it's a wedding or a child or what have you, and it's changed onto the gifts. And I think that's unfortunate. If Nigel and I had done formal invitations, we would have actually put on there no gifts, or words to that effect. Nigel said we'd put on one side, no gifts for details, please turn over, and then turn over and say, we told you, no gifts. But we didn't do a formal invitation, so we couldn't do that. And it's unfortunate because we realize now that there will be people who will bring us something, even though they know that they shouldn't. And but anyway, I don't think it's something that can be changed easily, and I don't think it's something that will change anytime soon. The West in general, and maybe the U.S. in particular, I don't really know, is quite materialistic and is focused on goods and stuff. It's focused on stuff, let's say. So I suppose it's only natural that at these celebratory events that the stuff would become more of the focus than the event itself. It is unfortunate, but it's the way it is right now. I think what could change it is if, especially younger people, as they come along, because they have the power to change things more than some of us who've been around a while, if they start having their weddings and saying no gifts, that it might start to change things. Because weddings, in particular, are built on traditions of what's gone on before, what has happened for generations in some cases. And this is a good way to change that, for people to just start saying, no, we're not going to do that anymore. But I wouldn't hold my breath. So no, Bjorn, I don't think you're alone. I think you are seeing it pretty much as it is. And it is unfortunate, but at least Nigel and I aren't contributing to that mess. And next up is a phone call from Scotty.
Happy birthday, Arthur. I know that really your birthday is the 21st, but I was just listening to Big Fatty, and he said on the internet it's actually on Monday, which is today. So I'm ringing you today. Bye.
Thank you, Scotty. Well, of course, Big Fatty doesn't use the computers, and sometimes says things that are slightly in error. As Scotty, as a resident of Australia, knows, the 21st is, of course, Wednesday, and that is Tuesday in America, not Monday in the interwebs. But who knows? The past is the present, and the future is yesterday. Who knows? I don't know. But thank you very much, Scotty. And next up is a call from Chef Mark.
Hey, Arthur. This is Chef Mark calling from New York City. I'm really glad that this is take two of my message. I'm really glad that I went and double checked the new number, because I had dialed 5162 and not 5172. And what I'm about to say, you'll laugh when you realize that whoever that is going to get this funny message. I just listened to your latest Politicast, the one that you released that's prior to the inauguration. I know you may have put out another one since. But I love, love, love your idea for the strategy for dealing with the Rick Warren part. Like you, I am going to be taking a dump when Rick Warren is speaking. And in fact, I think I'm going to save it up. I'm going to save up and get a nice big one to lay out in the portion where he's talking. I think that would be very appropriate. I also want to wish you a happy birthday. And I know you're already 50 because you're in the future. But have a happy, happy birthday and a great new year. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Mark. I actually like your approach even better. So we'll see. But considering how early everything is playing here in New Zealand, I may be ready for a morning dump by then anyway. But Mark has been very helpful over the past, since I started podcasting, really. But in particular, when I was trying to get videos sorted out, he gave me lots of really good advice about things to do and equipment to get and so on. And which has been very helpful. And of course, Mark does some wonderful shows over at remarkablepalette.com, I think it is. Yikes. And Remarkably Mark. Anyway, there is a link to Remarkably Mark on both my blog and my podcast site. So do check it out. And finally, I have one more phone message that I'm going to play today. Now, normally I play messages in the order that I got them. But I got one just before Mark's that I think is so perfect that I have to play it last. And here it is.
Oh, say, can you see any 40s on me? Oh, no, not a one. May your 50s be fun. Well, Arthur, we got you a new president and a new senator from Illinois. I tried real hard to get you a new governor for your birthday, but that didn't work. Hope you and Nigel have a good celebration, and may your 50s be fun. This is Lord Byron from Illinois. Have a good one.
Well, thanks very much for that, Lord Byron. I don't think anybody's ever sung to me in a phone message before. Thank you very much. Of course, Lord Byron and I have traded emails a lot over this Blagojevich thing, and that's been great fun, and also other stuff relating to Illinois and other issues. So that's very good. But thank you very much for that. Now, I am going to go over to the website and just read the comments from episode 137. And I'm just going to read them all together because they're in a similar vein, and I just have basically a general response at the end. And the first comment was from Trillion25, who said, "Well, congratulations, Arthur. It's about time. Hee-hee, just kidding. Glad to hear you're finally tying the knot, and happy birthday as well." Next was Mark from Slap Upside the Head, who said, "Congratulations, you too." Then Archer, who said, "Arthur, congratulations on your civil union marriage. That's great. And of course, an early happy birthday. I look forward to all the new podcasts in the new year." Next was Nessa, who said, "It was so good to hear your voice again. Congratulations. I know you're keeping it a private affair, but I would love to see a picture of you two after you've said the I do's. Lots of love to you on your special day, Nessa." Next was John Q. Public, who said, "Yahoo! Congratulations, you two. This is fantastic news, and it only took 13 years. Yours is a remarkable story from its inception and a joy to hear about. As to hear about it as you have described in the time that I've heard your podcast. Next was Michael in Stuttgart, who said, "Wow, congratulations, dears. Herzliche Glückwünsche, ihr beiden," which basically means heartfelt good wishes to you both. "It's always a pleasure to listen to your podcast, but this time it was even better. I agree with Nessa. It would be nice if we could see a picture of the grooms." And then he says, "Hey, who will throw the bouquet?" And Bjorn said, "Congrats. I'm going to call you now," which is, of course, what we've already heard. And then I said to everyone, "Thanks, everyone. We'll see about a photo, since it's not entirely up to me. I'll do my best to post one, though." Now, when Nigel was talking about this before, he said, "Well, I might let you put a photo up afterwards, so we'll see. I'll do my best, but I can't make any promises. But I will, of course, tell you all about the ceremony once it's done and tell you about the day. But that's, of course, sometime from now, after it's all done and dusted, as they say here in New Zealand. But until I speak with you again, that's it for today. That's it for this week. I may not be back until the end of next week because Monday is a holiday here in Auckland. It's Auckland Anniversary Day. And so I might not be able to record on Tuesday as normal. We'll see. Just play it by ear. But as it stands right now, I expect to be recording again the end of next week. So until then, I wish you well. And when I speak to you next again, I will be a partner in civil union. Bye, everybody.